Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now... you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We don't have a lot of problems with Mike Florio. He is the creator, the editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. He is at Pro Football Talk on Twitter. And he joins us both on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, and the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa app today, Circa Sports, Illinois. Mike, there's a lot of news that we've got going on in the NFL today. That's no secret. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's that time of year where you just accept the fact that it's constantly going to fall from the sky. You catch as much of it as you can. You try to focus on the most interesting stuff, and you just wait for the next thing to fall because there's always something. When you least expect it, expect it.
Well, we were expecting something to happen because the Bears' secondary could not stand as it currently is constituted. So the news of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson reuniting with Dennis Allen is certainly the big news here. What do you make of the fact that they signed him and the fact that he's been on three teams now in the last 5 weeks?
Well, this is a guy who, by all appearances, has had a difficult time working and playing well with others. The Eagles moved on from him after the Super Bowl. The Texans decided to cut the cord after he had started, I think, every game he'd played for them this season. He spent a little bit of time on the Ravens practice squad, but he's done some good things. He's a guy that can fill a need and have a role, but there's just always kind of been something that goes on that causes him to wear out his welcome. So until that happens, he's a guy that can maybe help the Bears. And, you know, every coach thinks, I'm the guy that's going to be the one to get through to a guy that, for whatever reason, may have had issues elsewhere. And need combines with availability, and boom, we see what can happen.
It seems like a buyer beware situation, but especially because it is a first-year head coach trying to establish a culture after we know what happened last year with this team.
And I think part of what you do when you bring a guy like that in is you make it very clear from the get-go. These are the expectations, and we're going to be paying attention. And if anything happens that falls into the category of the issues that have happened in the past, and, you know, what, boom, that's it. It's done. It's over. We're willing to give you a chance, and you get one chance. And if something happens that we don't like, and whatever it is, because, you know, teams aren't willing to peel back the curtain and tell us the whole story of why something went south, but things have gone south. So you outline the expectations, you hold the player to that standard, and if he ever runs afoul of it, then you just move on.
Well, and Mike, I was joking about how he's been part of some very viral moments in Bears history. Twice in a season, he goaded opposing receivers to punch him in the face and the helmet during games. So that obviously went in the favor of the Saints way. I'm hoping that maybe the Bears are due for some penalties for and in their favor.
You want to have that guy on your team that you love him if he's your teammate, and if he's on the other team, you hate him. That chippiness. But the problem is sometimes that chippiness can't be contained. So the guys who are supposed to love him end up maybe not loving him as much as they should, and that creates the issues. But, you know, it's happened enough times that you just have to look at it and say, okay, we'll see if he's learned his lesson. We'll see if he's grown. We'll see if he's matured. We'll see how he fits in the locker room. And if he does something that causes him to not fit, then it's as easy to move on from him as it is to add him.
We're talking to Mike Florio, the creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk here on Raheem Harrison-Grody on 670 The Score. There's also some news regarding Joe Flacco because, you know, when you're 40 and quarterbacking, maybe you aren't as healthy as you would like to be at times during the week. We understand reports saying that it's an AC joint issue for Flacco. What are you hearing about his availability for Sunday?
Well, you know, if he's called day-to-day, then that... And this is what slips into what became the story of the week last year for the NFL. What do they tell us? What do the teams tell us about a player's status? And what is the truth? And are they calling him day-to-day while they're secretly getting Jake Browning ready, while people in the organization know that Flacco may not be able to go this week? Are they going to string it out as long as they can? Limited in practice on Wednesday, limited in practice on Thursday, limited on Friday, questionable, and then we find out as late as possible that it's not going to be him. That's part of the basic gamesmanship of football, but it has its risks when we explore the ways that inside information can be misused and abused. That's the balance the NFL has to take a look at striking a little bit better after what happened with the Ravens last week. A topic that you all are very familiar with because the Bears apparently were duped into thinking Lamar Jackson was going to play. So we have to factor any reports and any comments through that lens. Is there a chance that a team is trying to get the next opponent to think it's going to be this guy when it's actually going to be that guy?
Those words, limited, questionable. I'm not sure that the Ravens knew what those words actually meant until we saw what happened. We know that there's been an apology and honest mistakes been thrown around. What do you make of it, and how hard will the NFL come down on the Ravens?
Well, of all the days in the history of humankind that that could have happened, last Friday was the absolute worst. Because it's one day after the Terry Rozier, Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, NBA gambling controversy, the two prongs, because the Terry Rozier stuff with the manipulation of the unders, that wasn't new. Jonte Porter allegedly or actually or whatever did that. He ended up being banished for life. The new part was this ridiculous, you can't make it up, rigged poker game. It comes together, it overtakes the sports world. And what the Ravens did on Friday, they can't claim they didn't know. I've seen the policy. It's clear that if you're a starter and you fully participate in practice as the scout team quarterback, you are limited by virtue of the application of the language of the injury policy because you didn't take your normal reps. Your normal reps are with the first string offense. If you're taking all the reps with the scout team and you're the starting quarterback, you were necessarily limited in practice. And I would say the Ravens know that. And the NFL's investigation, presumably, will get to the bottom of the question of whether or not the Ravens deliberately ran afoul of the letter of the policy in order to make the Bears think they were going to be facing Lamar Jackson. And really, for anybody that pays attention to this, limited on Wednesday, I don't know what that means. Limited on Thursday, I don't know what that means. You call him full on Friday, he's playing. That's the message. Oh, he's good to go. He's playing. Oh, we didn't expect that one. And by saying full instead of limited, that sent a very clear message. It was part of, I believe, the gamesmanship. I think the Ravens were at some level trying to pull a fast one, not as it relates to gambling. I had a GM call me the other day and he said, look, all of this stuff is about strategic edge. It's not about gambling. The problem is the two things are so combined now. And if the NFL is going to profit to the tens of millions of dollars from gambling sponsorships, if the NFL is going to allow team owners to own up to 5% of any company that operates a sports book, but they won't tell us who owns how much of which sports book, you can't you can't ignore the obvious overlap between gamesmanship, inside information, messages sent to the gambling public, and that's where the NFL has a problem. And if I'm the Ravens, I'm concerned that they're going to make an example out of us because it's an opportunity to send a very important message at a very critical time to everyone about not playing games with the injury report.
I do think, though, sometimes, Mike, the history, at least for John Harbaugh being a part of that NFL competition committee, some of those panels that the Bears are never a part of, and I wish they were, I feel like even when you've been a part of them before, and then you're, even if you're not them on them currently, that does help your case at times, or it helps make points that you would like to make. I think the Tush Push conversation in the offseason is a good example of that. Do you think that just being a part of that process, the NFL looks at the Ravens a little differently? Like perhaps they get a little more benefit of the doubt because they do some of those things?
Well, it's where human dynamics factor into it. It's always harder to be stringent with people that you know and people that you deal with and people that you're willing to give the benefit of the doubt to. And really, in this case, there's no question there was a violation. And there'll be a punishment. There has to be a punishment for the violation. They applied the wrong category. The question is, was it an accident or was it part of some broader effort to dupe the Bears, manipulate the policy, and thereby highlight the existence of this donut hole where there's so much inside information? And that's one of the things that motivated my latest book, Big Shield. There's so much inside information for any NFL team. It's impossible to restrict it. So one of the challenges is to limit the inside information and to require teams to be as transparent as possible as it relates to what the status of your players really is. So I've heard those concerns. The teams that would be in that group that would likely get hammered by the league for this, they're watching this carefully because they perceive the Ravens are going to get preferential treatment. Whereas, you know, look at what happened to the Saints in 2012. The bounty scandal, that was a cultural problem in the NFL. That was something that had happened everywhere Greg Williams had ever been. Other teams were doing the same thing. But 2012, they're dealing with the concussion epiphany that they were forced to address and try to solve by Congress. They had a nationwide class action concussion litigation that was still in its early months. They felt compelled to send a strong statement that we care about player health and safety, so they hammered the Saints. So if the NFL feels compelled to send a strong statement that we aren't the NBA, that we aren't going to be this playground for inside information that can be used and abused, it won't matter how much they like the Ravens. This may be one of those situations where, hey, sorry, but you guys did the worst possible thing at the worst possible time, and there has to be a significantly strong punishment so everyone gets the message.
Our segment with Mike Florio, creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Mike, I alluded to this in the last question, and this is getting really in the weeds here. And I know the Bears had 11 penalties last Sunday, but I do often wonder if perhaps because the Bears are not a part of some of these committees that take place, because you don't see Bears coaches being a part of them, because George McCaskey hasn't historically been a part of them. He doesn't speak up in the offseason like other owners do. I wonder if it goes against them in things like, say, the benefit of the doubt regarding penalties or quarterback hits, things like that. There was a helmet-to-helmet in the game on Sunday. Do they get more calls because against them because they don't do some of those things in the offseason like other teams do?
Well, and I'll give you an example. We haven't written about this, and I don't know how public it ever became, but I know of at least one team that views itself as being on the outs with the league office. You do a study of historical penalties, not just called against you, but called against your opponents when they're playing you. And this one team had the lowest rate of penalties called against its opponents for like a 5-year period. There's a certain point where this series of human decisions that are made in the heat of the moment, you see trends and you wonder what's really going on. And here's the problem. Back when the NFL hated gambling, the commissioner said that in an era of widespread legalized betting, normal incidents of the game will be viewed as abnormal, and they'll be viewed as something that would suggest that the fix may be in, that something unsavory is happening. And You know, that's where we are now. And the league ignores that now because they love gambling and they don't want their words from 13 years ago to be used back against them. I get that. But the reality is the suspicion is more rampant than ever. The tinfoil hat crowd has more credibility and they're more willing. There are more people that are fashioning the tinfoil hats than ever before because that's now the knee-jerk explanation. As we hear about the various gambling scandals, and as we wonder what's really going on, and we hear about the various tentacles, and we see it right in front of you, the official sports betting partner of the NFL, and this, all that stuff that's going to make people think that something's up. Even if the explanation is incompetence, people are going to think that there's something more nefarious going on, and that's what the league wanted to avoid. I think the league decided, the hell with that, we can make more money if we deal with that and just ignore it. And meanwhile, I'm the one that has to constantly hear from fans that the officiating's rigged, that this is rigged, that that's rigged, that Park Avenue wants this team to win, that team to win. And I know it's part of the overall fabric of what we discussed. I just don't think that's good for the league for something like that to have legs.
Mike Florio, the creator and editor of Pro Football Talk, joining us, well, every week here on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. And this time next week, we will have talked about a trade deadline that has gone past. We've seen some little bitty deals get done. Mike, we've seen trades in the NFL kind of go up and up exponentially over the last few years. Do you expect to see a lot of business being done heading into this Tuesday's trade deadline?
Well, there's still a full weekend of games to be played. And I wrote something at PFT on Sunday pointing out the idea that we still had two full weeks left. You have teams that aren't quite sure. Are we buyers? Are we sellers? What are we? Do we stand pat? Do we keep our players? Do we move them? You look at the guys who are in the last year of their contracts, the guys who have contracts that maybe you want to tear up after this year. Have we reached a point where, you know what, let's go ahead and get something of value because we probably don't have the pieces to be what we would like to be this year. And that's a strong admission to make to your fan base, too. That's another factor. But with the trade deadline the Tuesday after week nine now, you have to get all 9 weeks in before you really do know. But yeah, teams are looking. And the contenders, the clear contenders, they have reason to look. The teams that are clearly done, they have reason to scour their rosters and see where they could maybe leverage a guy that isn't going to be there next year into an extra asset so you can be better down the road. So I expect there will be something. Whether there's going to be some sort of a blockbuster, I don't know. And the one that intrigues me the most is A.J. Brown, because there was a story on ESPN Sunday where the headline was the Eagles aren't expected to trade Brown. But when you start reading the story, it's like, I feel like they're trying to shop A.J. Brown without shopping A.J. Brown, because it's clear they'll listen and that if they get a blockbuster offer, they'll move him. And when you think of all the teams in the AFC that could use A.J. Brown, Bills and Patriots in the same division, the Colts could use him, the Chargers could use him, the Broncos could use him, the Steelers who moved on from George Pickens, what would they be if they could reunite DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown, who were teammates at the University of Mississippi? So if they could just sit back, the Eagles, and never create a problem by suggesting that maybe they're shopping A.J. Brown and then he's going to be upset about that, they just sit back and wait for an offer that blows them away. I don't rule it out, because if one team is sufficiently desperate to get him and to keep him away from a competitor, that's the other side of it too. Not only do you get him, but you keep him away from somebody that you're directly competing with for playoff positioning and ultimately playoff wins. I still think that could happen.
Mike Florio, I don't know if you recall this, but we sure do because we had fun with it later. Do you remember floating the idea about the Bears and Bengals combining cities to have
yes.
a shared stadium? That
yes.
birthed us the concept of Bears 2, which was the Bengals realized as the anti-Bears. It got really theatrical. Do you have any follow-up to those comments now that these two teams are playing on Sunday?
You know, that's funny. No, the Bengals have worked out a short term in the grand scheme of things. I can't remember how many years it is, and I don't know that it's all buttoned up, but I said that at a time when the Bengals' lease was a year away from expiring, and their owner said, we basically become free agents. So, you know, you look around and you look at teams that are trying to get stadiums, and the Bears, I think, are in the one market that doesn't have two teams that could justify two teams. But I think the Bengals are staying in Cincinnati. So they'll have to find another Bears 2. There could be another Bears 2 out there. It's not going to be the Bengals.
I love that. I did want to ask you this, Mike. Tell me about the TikToks. Tell me about your social media adventures on Sunday night with the pro, with the football crew from NBC.
Oh, the dance.
It's all generated by AI.
Oh, that's not really you?
Lies, I tell you.
Here's what happened. They would do these dances after halftime. And I stayed out of them because I know better. But people in the comments started to clamor for me to be involved, including a good friend of my son's, unbeknownst to me, was clamoring for this. So I did it 1 week, and you know, it wasn't a disaster. So it's become a weekly thing.
I love it.
It's a fun team building exercise, unless and until I suffer a serious injury. But I have done the research. It would be covered by workers' comp. So I'm good to go there.
Yeah, just stay on your toes, and where your head goes, your body will follow. That's always dance 101.
I really do worry about popping an Achilles tendon.
No, I hear you. You'll be fine. As long as that floor doesn't have any reason to grip, you're good. And studio floors typically don't. That's my advice to you, Mike. I'm sure our Twitch mob, that we like to call them, the crew who watches you on Twitch every time you're on, I bet they would be into the TikTok. So I'm sure they'll support you as well.
It really is funny, too, because I tried to ignore it because it's like, all right, I'll go along and I'll do it. But when you start getting feedback from people directly that you wouldn't expect to get feedback from about something like that, it's like, people actually see these things. So fortunately, it is the net has been that it's positive, which is good. I'll take that. But yeah, it was an adventure, and it continues to be an adventure every Sunday because we don't even know what we're doing until it's time to do it. It's not like we get the moves in advance. They show us a phone and say, all right, this is what we're doing this week. And they show us one time. It's like, whoa. Show me again. Let me see it one more time before I have to actually pretend I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you got to ask for the choreography. That's how it works. Yeah. That's a fair trade. Mike Florio, thanks as always for joining us. Mike, the creator, editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, and author. His latest book, Big Shield, A Tale of Gambling, the Mob, and a Fictional Pro Football League that definitely isn't the NFL, is available Amazon.
And it also has a storyline about a fictional basketball league that is definitely not the NBA.
Oh,
and definitely doesn't have any poker tables that might have
X-ray machines.
I wish I had thought of that.
I know, right? I did think about that.
Everything about that is amazing. It feels made up. That's how good it is.
Yes, it's an Ocean's 12, 13, 14 plot for sure. I know just the man to write it. Mike Florio, thanks as always for taking the time.
Thanks, Mike.
See you.
That's Mike Florio. Speaking of all of those things, Michael Jordan spoke.
Oh, wow. That's the tie-in you want to make?
Sometimes it's more powerful to say somebody's name next to other things you've just said than rather actually point out that he's not related to those things you just said.
Not related.
But the point is, when MJ speaks, we listen. And he did speak about, outside of the breaking news that we had last week, one of the biggest stories that dominates the NBA every year and likely upsets you. So we'll listen to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. We're talking to play-by-play man Kevin Harlan. You're the best when it comes to play-by-play of life.
We're sending Marshall Harris to D.C. to run on the field.
Come on, Marshall. Bring it home, baby. We're ready for you.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
The Chicago Bulls have defeated the Utah Jazz to take a 3-2 lead. They win it 90-88. A courageous, classic performance by the flu-ridden Michael Jordan. A performance that I think will go down as one of the greatest of his career.
Yeah, he was right about that. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Mark joins us with the latest from the Bears and Hallis Hall on a very busy day. That's at 1:25. Danny Parkin's right before him at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, it's another Wednesday in the NBA. And if you rewind to last Wednesday here on Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score previously, we talked about the importance of Michael Jordan, how we received him coming on to the NBA on NBC broadcast, how that was going to look, how it was going to sound. The joke about microdosing the one MJ interview into perpetuity might be one of the funnier comments I saw on the internet from last week. But one of the questions we had, Marshall, as you recall, was when something timely happens, if it's going to be pieces of this larger interview, how's that going to go down? Perhaps there was no better example of what happened like a few hours later than the massive scandal that we know to be happening right now in the NBA involving Chauncey Billups, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones, and the gambling scandal and the rigged poker, allegedly, that happened amongst NBA stars.
I'd be very interested, much like I was when I was an employee at the Wells Fargo Center, how you got the advanced set list for whatever act was in the building that night. So you knew exactly when to go, when not to go, when to just stay at my desk versus walking out to the concourse and, you know, taking in a little bit of a random concert.
He lived a tough life, that Mars Hall.
Yes, I did. And I'd be very interested in a table of contents style. This is everything we have addressed in the interview, and these are the dates that will be released. But you know what? Not that they asked Michael Jordan about sports gambling, but if they did,
how would that go, you think?
But if they
was
did,
was that one of those on the not on the list of topics?
But if they did, this would have been a beautiful week for it. But since they had already teased they were going to talk load management, next week would be, if there is sports gambling that was asked about for Michael Jordan, it'll be coming out next week, but I doubt that's how that's going to work.
How do you think that fits into the title of the interview series called MJ Insights to Excellence?
Well, stay away from gambling. Don't get involved with gambling. That's all I got for you.
I can stop gambling. I have a competition problem, a competitive problem.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know that he's wrong about that.
Yes, yes. I think that's very accurate, as you know, with The Last Dance, with the, what's the game where the quarters against the wall or whatever.
Yeah, just game they made up at the United Center.
And they did on SNL, which is the SNL skit, if you haven't seen it, is hilarious. But to understand that load management isn't something that Michael Jordan really processed.
Well, and outside of the incredibly timely news that dominated sports last week and should frankly not stop dominating sports for a while, outside of that, one of the biggest hot topics in the NBA, as we know, is load management. You know, we joke about general soreness here with what happened to Derrick Rose. Turns out he was ahead of his time and frankly probably needed the load management. So that was the next topic in the latest installment, the second one of MJ Insights to Excellence.
The term load management has become such a hot button in the NBA.
I know you were going to talk about that one.
Because you played 80 games a lot. You played 82. What do you think of when you hear the term load management thrown around?
It shouldn't be needed, first and foremost. You know, I never wanted to miss a game because it was an opportunity to prove. It was something that I felt like, you know, the fans are there to watch me play. I want to impress that guy way up on top who probably worked his ass off to get a ticket. or to get money to buy the ticket.
You really cared about the guy who sat in the top deck at the Palace in Auburn Hills to watch you when you came to Detroit?
Yeah, because I know he's probably yelling at me, and I want to shut him up. You know, he's calling me all kinds of names. I definitely want to shut him up.
Right.
You have a duty that if they're wanting to see you, and as an entertainer, I want to show, right? So if the guys are coming to watch me play, I don't want to miss that opportunity. Now, physically, if I can't do it, then I can't do it. But physically, if I can do it, and I just don't feel like doing it, that's a whole different lens.
So give me the first time that you came to that fork in the road in your career where you could have sat down and missed a game, but you fought through.
Started my career.
Okay.
I twist my ankle. And I had a teammate. He says, "You twist your ankle, young fella. Come over and sit with me. You know, this is, you need to." I said, "No, man. I'm trying to make a name for myself. There's no way I can sit. You know, I need to get out there and show what I'm capable of. I want to play. I want to win. I want to make an impact." And I twisted my ankle. I taped it up, and I went back out, and I played. I always felt that. I always felt the necessary need that I could never leave my comrades out if I could perform, right? Even if I couldn't. You know, Utah, a great example. You know, everybody said the
finals.
Flu game. It's game five, which is a very pivotal game. I was going to find a way to get out there, even if I was a decoy. Well, once I got out there, you know, you never know how, you know, pushing yourself, you never know what happens, right?
So that night you got out there and you found you could do more than you thought you were going to be able to do.
I, next thing you know, the emotions, the situation, the need of the team, you know, all those things catapulted me to, I'm going to gut this thing out. You know, back to your point of what load management is, you know, you play basketball 2.5 hours a day, 3 hours a day, right? That's your job. That's what you get paid to do as an NBA player. What are you doing the other 21 hours? I mean, to me, that's when you should be preparing for your next day of work or your next, you know, challenge. Now, I'm the worst. I mean, maybe I'm not one of the guys that you would probably model that or, you know.
I was going to say, did you do that every time?
But you should think about that in retrospect of what load management really is. I always felt like one, it was a sense of pride for the fans that are paying.
Right.
Two is a sense of, you know, making sure that I stay sharp. You know, I'm not going to lose it. And three, I want our rhythm as a team to always be there. It can disrupt that synergy that's happening.
That was Michael Jordan on the NBA on NBC. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. It's an easy thing for him to say because he has full knowledge of the era that he played in. But I think the issue is, if somebody's tired in 2025 of the NBA, even if it's one of the greatest of all time, you're still going to have more days this year, like now in this era, where somebody's going to take advantage of that in a way that is different from how Michael Jordan dominated his time.
There's no doubt that the athletes are not only better, but the volume of athletes. He played in a national game, if you will. Basketball is international now.
It's also, think about the rotations too. Like, think about how many people we're talking about how we expect to see in the Bulls game tonight. We're thinking at least a five-man bench, right? Five-man bench, five stars, a 10-man rotation. You run a 10-man rotation with MJ and Pippen?
No.
Okay, then. That's what I think about when I hear some of this stuff.
I think guys can do more than maybe what they're doing, but I think the game was just different then, and some of what he does bleeds into future players such as Kobe Bryant, Allen Iverson, where there's a crossover, right?
Yes.
But the stuff that they were saying in the studio after he had this interview played was hilarious to me.
Well, let's listen to some of it. Why don't we start with your man, Carmelo Anthony?
It's hard coming from MJ to talk about load management. He was one of a kind when it came to that. He was one of a kind when it came to just how he approached the game, how he wanted to compete every possession, every day, all day. To tell him to sit out, you couldn't get away with that. Today, I understand why people do it, why teams do it, why guys want to preserve their bodies. I don't want to get into the 82 games and long season. It is a long season. Mm-hmm. And we go through lulls as players throughout the season, but Only when you take advantage of the load management is when I have an issue with it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing it to preserve your body and for certain parts of the season, or you want to be fresher down the end of the season, if you hurt, sit out.
Right.
If you not, go out there and play.
Man, listen, Karl Malone played 13 straight seasons of 80 or more games. Stockton, John Stockton, his teammate, 16 of his 19 seasons, he played 82 games. It's not a one-of-a-kind thing. It's an era thing. And just admit, y'all ain't got it like that.
Well, the other thing, too, that changed is the player contract. Injuries cost teams more money. When you have injuries that are debilitating and you're paying a player way more,
you're just trying to get something out of them,
least than you did in the 90s, that, well, think about, that's penny wise, pound foolish. You know, you try to prevent your asset from not being a part of your team. Like, that's how I see it. I think the contracts got so big that the method changed, because if you can prevent injuries from happening where players are missing significant amount of time, then you've protected your investment.
So MJ and Carmelo, we won't call them contemporaries. I think I can call an Allen Iverson Carmelo's contemporary because they played literally together in Denver.
I was about to say AI and Carmelo are 100% of the same generation to me. And don't talk to me about that generation of NBA players. You don't know.
Iverson,
you don't know unless you know.
Iverson
were the
played,
shorts down to the ankles.
Yes, that's a
was
different
Vince
wardrobe.
Carter Air Canada?
Yeah, that's a different wardrobe choice as well. But Iverson, he only played 82 games twice in his 13-year career. But he led the league in minutes played 7 times. He averaged 41.1 minutes per game for his career.
41.1.
For his career. So even at the end, when he wasn't playing as much, that brought it down. One time in 2001-2002, he averaged 43.7 minutes per game. It's just like they're not built like that anymore. And a lot of that is the style of the game has changed, but also the big contracts. Michael Jordan, when he made $36 million in 1 year, people were like, this is insane. And now that's nothing.
Think about what we talked about with Zach LaVine's max contract. Zach LaVine. Now consider how much we talked about him being out for injuries, actual real knee injury, whatever else. Now consider what Michael Jordan would make in today's NBA and what a game is worth. Now think about the exponential factor of multiple games and what that's going to cost you. You remember how the Dodgers said that they've made Shohei Ohtani's money back in ticket sales and TV deals and endorsements and the like? Now think about that in NBA terms. And that's why the game changed. Money.
I know if Michael Jordan was playing today and it was as famous and as prolific as he was now, teams would happily pay the $75+ million a year because they would make that back easily too with all the money that he makes a team.
Bingo. Like, that's what this is. And you know what? I love it when we could simplify it, when we could say we want to play for the guy sitting in the very top of the arena. That's what makes it good. That's what motivates you.
And he wasn't wrong.
But unfortunately, the almighty dollar took over.
Yeah. Yeah. We sold out.
Cash ruled everything around us. I have a tale for you coming up in this installment of Halftime.
What you got?
It's a story of what appeared to be stolen identity, but then we find out perhaps the steal was in the actual story itself.
Huh.
And it involves Sammy Hagar. That's all next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime. That is where we bring you up to speed on what we talked about on this show. Chauncey, a.k.a. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, is now a Chicago... He is now a Chicago Bears. Congratulations, C.J. G.J. You went from Bears punching you in the face to a Bear. Life comes at you fast. So we talked about that at 10 o'clock, what it means for the Bears secondary against two names you don't want to think about facing as with a depleted secondary, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. At 10:25, Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are back in town at the Kings. We asked you, what did Zach LaVine mean to the Bulls? What did he mean to you? We got a lot of responses. 10:45, we talked about the game itself because, well, the Kings look a lot like a team you've seen before. The Bulls the last 3 years. Mike Florio was on at 11 talking NFL news. MJ talked about load management on the NBA on NBC. And now it is halftime.
It's halftime.
So I came across a story that made me laugh a lot. It was the story of a man impersonating Sammy Hagar in Rockford.
What?
So then I was like, oh, this is perfect for halftime. And who doesn't love both Van Halen and or Van Hagar? I mean, I'm more of a Van Halen girl myself. But take your pick. I know my people. Given all of that, I wanted to read the story on air. But when I tried to click on the link again, it was gone. So I thought, of course, naturally, operator error. And then I looked up Sammy Hagar and stolen identity. And I got this story from the San Francisco Chronicle. Listen to this headline. Police say viral story about man pretending to be Sammy Hagar and smelling of margarita mix is fake. It was too good to be true. Now listen here. In the media, you start out in smaller cities. That's where you get your that's where you get your experience. You're trying to figure out what's truth, what's fiction. You source check. You call the people who are your sources on your beats. And unfortunately, the report that originated from WTVO in Rockford that alleged a 58-year-old man named Ronnie Putnam was arrested in Mount Vernon after claiming to be, quote, the real Red Rocker, end quote, was not in fact true. So police say that no person was ever in custody, but what a yarn it was. Sammy Hagar even commented and said on Twitter, who knows with AI these days if this is real or not, but every person I know has sent it to me. And anyone that would fall for this guy, and it was a picture of a guy with like curly blonde hair, it looks like a very bloated version of Sammy Hagar, saying he's the Red Rocker, probably couldn't name one of my songs. Happy Halloween. So let's listen to Sammy Hagar talk about the story about him that wasn't actually real.
Yeah, well, I just woke up and I feel about as beat up as I can be these days at my age. And look at this guy over here. This guy, he says he's Sammy Hagar. Hey, I guess it is the season. Happy Halloween, everyone.
The quote from the article said, he said he was on tour but needed to cash a royalty check. The article alleged citing a bank teller. He was wearing red sunglasses and smelled faintly of margarita mix. So I thought it was actually him.
Because he was drinking margaritas? That's how we
also,
do it?
Also, not margaritas. Margarita mix. And I do feel like those are two different things.
Are those two different smells?
Yeah.
Margarita mix alone is a lot sweeter. Okay. If you got the tequila up in there, it's a different smell for sure.
You just saw any guy slightly resembling Sammy Hagar and the Cabo Wabo came to mind and you just assumed it was him.
I can't.
And that's fake.
I can't wrap my head around this. I mean, I can wrap my head around this. This is very... Why?
But like the twists and turns I went on to find this story. And then I was like, wait, that makes it even funnier.
What are we doing, people? What are we doing?
I don't know why that just made me like almost cry laughing.
But I can see why like an impersonation like that would work because, you know, you haven't seen someone in a while. People often lose themselves a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because you said like a slightly bloated version, right?
Well, and you know, the thing is, I didn't realize how old Sammy Hagar was because I have no concept of time. He's 78 years old. Sammy Hagar is 78.
That's
and he
about
looks
how,
great.
That's about how old I pictured him being.
Yeah. The real article goes on to say, the longtime Bay Area resident and former Van Halen frontman had just wrapped up his annual Cabo birthday bash in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, where he performed alongside Belinda Carlisle and other musicians. Whoa, Belinda Carlisle. Circle in the sand and such. The four-night celebration, a tradition, is now in its 35th year, reportedly drew tens of thousands of ticket requests. This article, originally published at Police Say Viral Story About Man Pretending to Be Sammy Hagar and Smelling a Margarita Mix, is fake.
That's special. Are you going to be okay, though?
No. It's like, hey, I just came from Cabo. Can't you smell the margarita mix?
That's the part that got me, margarita mix as opposed to margaritas. I was like, wait, isn't that the same? But Ray, your explanation makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, that gave me a good laugh. I had to share all of that with you. And the fact that it was Rockford just made it that much better.
Rockford. Never been.
I know. I want to go. I want to go to Uncle Nick's.
Is that a bar in Rockford?
No, it's this Euro place in an old gas station with a creepy disembodied hand that gives you Euros.
That doesn't sound pleasant.
Oh, no, it sounds awesome. I want to go. I'm not kidding. I want to go.
We'll figure it out.
Love a good Euro.
Well, guys, they're open till 3:30 in the morning, so plenty of time.
Yeah. So have you seen the pictures spot of that place? It is everything I think it should be. Shout out to Uncle Nick's, even though I've never been there. Coming up next, it is 5 on it. We have Bears questions. We have Bulls questions. We have a hockey question.
There is a hockey question in there.
There should be. It's all next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.